Freedom Fiends. Welcome back for another Fiend Weekend live show. It is Sunday, July 27th. I'm Nima Vedati representing Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in his windowless bunker. What's up, man?
This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. You know, that is going to become my good night and good luck. I really believe it. Yeah.
Although undisclosed to whom, not the NSA, I would think.
Sean Diwali sent me a picture that he took on his cell phone while out tooling around doing his electrician job of a grocery store in Massachusetts outside of Boston, and it's called the NSA Grocery. And I'm like, okay, we finally found the location. And of course, there my immediate go. Response was, in Soviet America, grocery watches you. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, there's so much Yakov Smirnoff that could come back right now with what the government's doing with acting like the Stasi.
Well, I wonder if Ed Snowden does stand-up bits in Russia, in Soviet
America. In the airport.
Yeah.
I'll be here
the
all...
airport lounge.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be here all year.
Although Eric Holder really wants him to come back. He says, we won't kill you.
Just the tip, baby.
Just the tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think in the letter it said, we don't plan on charging him with a capital offense, but even if we did, we wouldn't seek the death penalty. So we might throw you in prison Gitmo. For life and torture you Bradley Manning style, yeah. But we probably won't kill you. We'll keep you alive to torture you Room 101 style.
Yeah, Snowden has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize by two people. I think one of them's on the committee and one of them's an advisor to the committee. And there's a meme going around that's a picture of Edward Snowden that says, nominated for Nobel Peace Prize, nominated for assassination by former Peace Prize winner.
Peace Prize winner, right. Yeah, how ironic would that be? Of course, he won't get it because he doesn't have enough blood of innocence on his hands like all the other winners.
Yeah. I think to win a Nobel Peace Prize, you have to have participated in or ordered or somehow been tacitly associated with some genocide.
Right. Peace isn't free, I guess.
Do you think that Barack Obama brings his Nobel Peace Prize into the war room and strokes it while watching, you know, the drone cam going
right,
down
like
the
it's
chimney,
a hairless kitten
going down the chimney of the bunk, a hairless kitten. Excellent. Yes, yes. You libertarians, get in my belly.
Get in my belly.
That's
it. Oh, yeah, Chris Christie, man.
Oh, man. Oh, do you have that audio? I think we have sort of a 3-part meme today of, or a 3-part thread about dinos thrashing in the tar pits. Now we say that, that the state is behaving like a dinosaur thrashing in the tar pit as it's going extinct, or the T2 at the end of Terminator, thrashing in the T-1000 in the movie Terminator 2 thrashing
in the molten
tar pits.
Steel. Yes. Yeah. And he's taking all of the forms he took during the movie and just mutating and then just dissolves. Mm-hmm. That's what we want to have happen to the state. We don't want it to be drowned in a bathtub or even get so sad that it drowns itself. We want it to thrash in the molten steel.
Yeah. See, our plan, and this is kind of a unique plan that I don't think has come up in history, you know, when there's an overly tyrannical government, you know, people either try to change it by voting, which ain't going to work at this point. And it's not even going to work on the surface at this point. It's been proven. I mean, Ron Paul proved that. Ron Paul had a chance of getting elected, and the GOP said, no, we're going to change the bylaws so you can't even get on the ticket. And there will never be one of you again. So it ain't going to happen. The Democrats would do worse. And, so that's usually one of the things throughout history that comes up is we can change it by voting. Another thing is people have violent revolutions. That ain't going to work at this point because, first of all, they'd just drone everybody. There'd be 1,000 Ruby Ridges with drones this time. And it wouldn't work because revolutions immediately are replaced by other governments that are usually worse. Or they're better for about 3 weeks like America was. And then they have the, the Whiskey Rebellion. And so really, and there've been, you know, then there was the workers' revolution thing that the communists had of, well, we can just take it over through labor, but then they just ended up shooting a bunch of people.
Well, because the revolutionaries have never taken that final paradigm shift that we talked about with Larkin Rose last weekend. You know, the revolutionaries want democracy and more responsible government and a government that suits their supposed needs. They never take that final step to say, hey, maybe we shouldn't rule each other. You know, maybe we should rule ourselves.
I mean, for a good example of that, you know, read the book or watch the movie or watch the cartoon of George Orwell's Animal Farm. I mean, it's basically what happened with the Russian Revolution. You know, one piggy stands up and says, we should get rid of the masters and rule ourselves cooperatively. And then, you know, some revolutionary says, yes, let's do that, and gets everyone, half the piggies killed in a revolution, throws the farmer out, and then they become the piggies in charge, which is what happened right in the Soviet system. And that's what would happen with any revolution here. And, you know, people talk about, well, what about states' rights? Okay, if my state was sovereign, my state of Wyoming, it would probably be worse than the federal government, because it would probably be a, like, conservative Sharia where they would make it punishable by death to gamble, cuss, look at, you know,
smoke spice,
or look at picture, you know, or look at the Sears underwear catalog of women's clothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So none of that works. And there's never really been a thing where people just say, hey, let's just get everyone to ignore it until the demand for it goes away and it drowns itself in the bathtub. And that's sort of the tack that a lot of people are taking these days. And the fiends are taking it too. And we're pushing it. And that's our plan. We want a peaceful, not even revolution, just like, you know, reduce the market for it. Teach people that it won't work.
Right. But those who have gotten fat off the backs of our sweat and our brows and sit there in their pink shirts bloviating, the best argument they can come up with still, what is it, 12 years later?
9/11.
And I don't even know, do we need to play any of this audio?
Play a minute of it.
Say anything interesting.
And, you know, we're not being fattest. I mean, you know, there's some good fat people out there, including me. To an extent, but you know, Chris Christie, it's really fun to compare him to that guy in the Austin Powers movie who says, get in my belly, libertarians. So go ahead and play this clip.
Well, see, it's the distinction, though, that he didn't get fat because he worked for his food. He got fat because he stole it from you.
There you go. Yeah, so right. It's okay,
so
to be fattest,
so
against statists.
That.
Yeah.
There you go.
And so, and on the libertarianism side of things, I, as a former prosecutor and who was appointed by President George W. Bush on September 10th, 2001, I just want us to be really cautious, because this strain of libertarianism that's going through both parties right now and making big headlines, I think, is a very dangerous thought. President Obama has done nothing to change the policies of the Bush administration in the war on terrorism. Ooh. And I mean practically nothing. And you know why? Because they work. Because they work. And I think what we have a country has to decide is, do we have amnesia? Because I don't. And I remember what we felt like on September 12th, 2001. And have there been some mistakes made over the course of time? Of course, because it's human beings and their judgment calls. There have been some mistakes made. But I want to say that I think both the way President Bush conducted himself and the way President Obama has conducted himself in the main on those type of decisions hasn't been different, because they were right and because we haven't had another one of those attacks that cost thousands and thousands of lives. And as the governor now of a state that lost the second most people on 9/11 behind the state of New York, right, and still seeing those families, John, right, I love all these esoteric debates that people are getting in.
Senator Rand Paul, for example.
Well, listen, you can name any number of people who've engaged in, and he's one of them. I mean, these esoteric intellectual debates, I want them to come to New Jersey and sit across from the widows and the orphans and have that conversation.
Okay, shut it down.
So don't have... don't have an intellectual debate. What are you talking about? Yeah. Use your brain? No. Feel sad about the widows. That's Chris Christie's point. Is don't think. Don't think. Just feel sad and use your sadness and your fear to support us. That's all he wants.
Yeah, there's so many things wrong with this. There's that. The next part where he goes on, he says, you know, I want to hear what you'd say to these widows. And what I would say to these widows is, it's America's policies that caused 9/11. And that's a really true thought, and it's absolutely true, and it's a really dangerous thought to say, because people go, "Merca," and want to kill you when you say that
in
America.
Well, I would be a little bit more distinct than that, and I would say the American foreign policy motivated the attackers. Not that necessarily it caused it, but that there were very specific motives written out by Mohammed Atta, and they included American policy towards Israel and Palestine. They also included American stationing troops in what they considered the Holy Land in Saudi Arabia during the first Gulf War, when, you know, Desert Storm, and troops were flying over into Baghdad and blowing stuff up from Saudi Arabia.
Well, it goes back to World War I, Lawrence of Arabia, and it really goes back to Abraham had two sons. But yeah. Yeah.
There's no reason for any of that. How did any of those actions help an American? Not at all. I mean, maybe the war profiteers and the people who got fat like Christie off of it, but it didn't help the widows, I wouldn't think. It didn't help their families. And in the end, they died because of what the CIA has called blowback.
Yeah.
And the other thing about this is, he calls this libertarian strain in both parties, which I have you seen that? I mean, barely. Little inkling of it. You know, he calls these the dangerous things.
Well, he's
talking
about people responding to the Snowden thing, and we're going to get into that more in a bit here with the Glenn Greenwald article. He's basically this week said the same thing we've been saying forever, which is, whatever both parties are bipartisan on, you should look out for. That's the worst stuff.
Right.
And
right.
They took a vote on drones, and it was a little more anti-drone than usual, and it was bipartisan, a little more anti-surveillance, anti-NSA spying on everyone. And that's what upset him. And, you know, talk and discussion of scaling back the military industrial police of the world, you know, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about actual libertarianism. He's talking about a thin facet of it, which is not as much aggressive military being the cops of the world on every corner in every nation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Christie, did the NSA spying stop the Boston bombing or even become aware of it?
That's another problem with what he says, is it's much safer now. And it's like, no, it's not. The only stuff that they've stopped is stuff they created, where they take the dumbest guy at the mosque and say, here, take this fake bomb and go put it under that bridge. And then they arrest the guy, throw him in prison for life, and tase him and say, we stopped a crime.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll be back with more fiends after we go to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from bigheadpress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty.
There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Yeah.
All right, it's Freedom Fiends. We're back. You already know what it is because I told you. I'm Nima Vidotti, representing that ATX. We've also got Michael Dub Dean. What's up, Mr. Dean?
It's Mr. Michael W. Dean in Wyoming, which, other than Utah, probably has the highest per square foot of dinosaur bones in the ground in America. And today's topic is the state is like a dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits as it's going extinct. And we have more examples of it. We're talking about Chris Christie, and he gave this rant. You know, something that really stood out to me in it was he opened it in his anti-libertarian rant by saying, and you know, it's fun, kind of funny because he was called a Tea Party guy. And so was Michelle Bachmann.
Who called him that?
He did. He did. And a lot of people called him that. But he was
jumped
so,
in front of the parade.
You know, Tea Party implies small government and libertarian leaning. And he is so not, man. Maybe he was to get elected like Michelle Bachmann, who's now saying Obama's NSA spying is great. It really makes me hot and happy and wonderful and makes me twirl in my sundress.
Isn't Bachmann leaving the House of Representatives to go read Mises on the Beach?
Yeah, in her bikini. Yeah, she said that, I think. Yeah. We're having an interview tomorrow with Stefan Kinsella, who I think knew Mises. We can ask him about it. And he is a – I want to pregame for tomorrow just or just mention this. What is it called? Not pimp it. What's the word?
Promo.
Yeah. You're from the news. You're from the mainstream news.
I'm from the news.
Yeah. So Google Stefan gobble. Kinsella is going to be on tomorrow, and he is a libertarian rock star and kind of one of the grand professors of liberty. And
one of the most dangerous people in America.
Who said that?
According to Chris Christie. Since he's a libertarian rock star, and libertarians are dangerous.
Yeah. Yep. And Stefan Kinsella is kind of like, he's an IP attorney. He's an actual practicing attorney and really knows his stuff. And he's kind of like an academic, a college professor type of liberty. And he usually gives these really great interviews that are very detailed and calm and well thought out. And tomorrow, I did 20 minutes of pregame with him on the phone today, and we're going to get him to throw that all out the window and just go, "Wah!" And it's going to be fun. It's going to be kind of like getting drunk with your really cool professor after class.
Yeah, we're going to call it Party with the Prof. I think We could.
Yeah, I'll put that in the notes. So it's really interesting to me that Chris Christie is bragging about being appointed to federal prosecutor by George Bush the day before 9/11. Now, that just brings up all kinds of conspiratorial possibilities for me. Like, okay, we're going to need you in this position tomorrow. But you looked it up, and he may be fibbing. What did you find?
He may be fibbing. I couldn't find a good footnote on it. If you know or if you can find one, email it to us at talkback@freedomfiends.com or go put it in the comments on the show notes at freedomfiends.com.
And we'll look at it 3 weeks from now and go, what? That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But go on.
Yeah. But so Wikipedia says he was appointed or nominated on December 7th, a day which will live in infamy, 2001, though. December 7th. That's months after September 10th, like he said. He was nominated to U.S. Attorney for District of New Jersey, was unanimously confirmed by the Senate on December 20th, and sworn into office on January 17th. There are no months named September in that paragraph on Wikipedia. I didn't see a good source or footnote for it, though. So Wiki could be lying, or Chris Christie could be lying. We don't
truth
know.
Get in my belly, truth. Yeah, it sounds to me like maybe he's altering his resume to fit the current job he's trying to get.
Maybe.
Which
maybe.
Is
denounce- he running for something
no
else?
His job is no? Denouncer of liberty.
The other thing people are bringing up is, he almost ran for president in the Republican nomination process last go round. So I think he's taking an early shot at Rand because people are expecting Rand to also run.
I think Christie may throw his sausage into the ring in the next election because, What they want is somebody who's going to sound like a libertarian anarchist while running, and then as soon as they're elected, immediately turn into the conservative Barack Obama as far as liberties go. Yeah.
Which we don't know if Rand could even be that, because Rand's not perfect by any means. He's not philosophically consistent by any means, and he has shown himself to be the kind of guy who will play the game of politics, like when he threw his dad under the bus and basically didn't stump for Romney, but threw his support behind Romney.
Do you think when he was thinking that, he was like, this is for not letting me go to the movie when I was 7 and I wanted to. This is for making me mow the lawn. You made me mow the lawn. Do you think, did he have liberty beaten into him as a child? Do you think Ron Paul was a spare the rod, spoil the child, old school dude? I bet he might be. I don't know, man.
I doubt it. But that's kind of hilarious that if your dad's Ron Paul, you're rebellious. Oh, yeah, well, I like Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this quick trip to the market. Thanks for being with us, fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Fiends. That's what it is. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Yeah. Dean. How are y'all doing today?
I'm good. I'm sitting here in the Mountain West smoking bison hair, which is a joke. I'm not really doing anything, but I just like to.
Is that a joke? I hadn't noticed. I don't think you've ever said that before.
Yeah. So this next segment is brought to you by Perverts for Gun Control, which is a new organization that we invented that doesn't really exist. That if it did, it would be headed by Congressman Anthony Weiner and San Diego Mayor Bob Filner. Now, I made this meme that had a picture of both of them, Perverts for Gun Control, and it says, 2 out of 2 politicians who sexually approach unwilling women also want to disarm women.
Wiener really wants back in, doesn't he?
Man, okay, yeah. this is so dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits while it's going extinct. And it's a good thing, because it's indicative to me of how even the statists are looking at this. Some statists is just like, man, you so want to be in power, and it's so ridiculous. Because, okay, Anthony Weiner and Mayor Bob Filner, okay, they're both Democrats. They both want gun control. Their parties want them to go away. If you don't know, Anthony Weiner sent pictures of his, well, let's just say his privates.
Of himself. His namesake.
Yes, of his namesake. To women, and some of whom really didn't want to receive these things, allegedly. And he got caught. He's the only congressman that everyone in America can go look at a picture of his member of parliament, so shall we say.
His member of Congress.
His member of Congress. And, you know, he apologized with his wife by his side, who is Hillary Clinton's best friend and former advisor, who, you know,
that
so
makes sense.
She learned it from her of the stand by your man and later you'll get, you know, a UN appointment or something.
Stand by your willies and your wieners.
Yeah, stand by. Yep. Willie Nelson and Wiener. That was not a Willie Nelson song, but no, we'll get to that later.
William Jefferson Clinton. His name's Willie's
and Wieners. I get it. So he stood up and said, I'm sorry, this won't happen again, and then ran for New York mayor, and then got caught doing it again. And his wife stood next to him and said, I'm sorry. And she said, he won't do it again. And then yesterday he was giving a press conference. I saw it. He was like screaming at the press. The press is like, you know, the press wants you to step down. The people want you to step down. New York City wants you to step down. The Democratic Party wants you to go away. Nancy Pelosi, of all people, wants you to go away. And he's like, I don't care. I have this 20,000 point plan to help the middle class. And I'm the only one important enough and professional enough to implement it. You know, he's insanely, I don't want to call him insane. I don't want to say anything that's not true about any of these people, because they're both about to become private citizens, and they're both attorneys, and they're both really angry and looking for people to blame. And yeah, as private citizens, they will not, you don't have the protection of, you can say whatever you want about them, like, politicians and public figures. So yeah, but he's being really, aggressive about, I don't care that no one wants me to run for mayor. I'm going to run for mayor. You know, basically he's saying, public be damned. I want public office. And, Mayor Bob Filner was, sexually inappropriately touched a bunch of women, and there are charges being filed, unlike with Anthony Weiner. And Bob Filner will not step down, and all the same people are yelling at him to step down. The Democratic Party of California, the people of California, the people of San Diego, the people of America, the press, you know, the late night comedians making fun of these guys. Everyone's telling him to step down, and they're like, no, I'm a public servant. I have to serve the public, even if the public doesn't want me to serve them. So they're both very aggressive at, I don't care what democracy thinks. I'm going to democracy the hell out of you. And
right.
Yeah. And we actually found another mayor, another perverts for gun control. Let's talk about this guy. He is also, like the guy Bob Filner from San Diego, he is a member of Mayor Bloomberg's Mayors Against Illegal Guns, which is actually not just against illegal guns. It's trying to make all guns illegal. This right. guy looks like Marcus Hook Mayor James Shiro of Marcus Hook, Pennsylvania. He also looks like one of the Sopranos, like Chris Christie. He's a big, tough guy. He's actually smoking a cigar in this picture. He looks like he's Michael Corleone's attorney about to go lie to Congress with Michael Corleone in this picture. Him like that.
Well, apparently he got a young 20-year-old victim and tried to use his weapon to get the young victim to touch his other weapon. Really horrible type of situation. And he looks really scary. I mean, how much closer to Rome is the American Empire going to get? I mean, he looks like he's saying, slave, bring me that young prisoner.
Yeah.
Come rub butter all over me or something like that.
That's a Futurama reference. And this guy is a Republican. He was demanding gay sex at gunpoint from a 20-year-old man, and he had the young man captured and brought to him by a local cop, allegedly. But but there are charges filed in all of this. So, yeah, man, Mayors Against Illegal Guns.
right. Well, according to the article in Front Page Mag, they have a great line here. It says, unfortunately, his closet was apparently full of illegal guns and gay longings.
Yeah. And Front Page Mag, it's hard for me to use it as an actual reference, but I looked this up elsewhere, and all of this is true. This was in mainstream papers, so it must be true. There are charges being filed against this Republican mayor for using a cop to bring me a young man, and then pointing a gun at him, or firing a shot into the wall indoors, which is not good gun safety, and it's also a violent act. He's threatening this basically kid with a gun to demand gay sex for this Republican mayor who hates guns.
See, all these scandals, I think they're good. They are a good example of the dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits, and they help people to grasp that these politicians are not good guys. Your thing was perverts for gun control, but it's pretty much perverted to be a politician of any stripe.
Yeah.
And so I just hope that this is sort of the foot in the door to show people that these guys who want to run your lives, that's not a good motivation. You know, this libido dominandi,
it's a perversion of nature.
Right.
It really is. I mean, nature is people working cooperatively, you know, of humans. And that is human nature, is to work cooperatively. And they are perverting it into not only I'll aggress on you, but I want you to choose me to aggress on you. And people go along with it. People vote for it. People campaign for these people. People give them money. People want these people to be in power over other folks. And, you know, if you want to know the natural procession of, patriotism and nationalism, it's North Korea. And if you want to know the natural progression of voting, it's a Republican pointing a gun at your head demanding homosexual rape, you know?
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I can't really disagree. You like with that? Very blunt words, but I mean,
feisty rant number really... feisty rant, yeah. Number one of this of today's episode of this radio show. Yeah,
there you go. Well, what's the foregone conclusion of just not accepting it, of withdrawing your consent, so to speak?
Well, I think that Cody Wilson, the inventor of the printable gun, who we had on our very first radio show of this radio show, he said it well. We said, like, what do you think about the future of America and of the world and of liberty? And he said, I think governments are going to become less and less and less relevant. Applicable, relevant. Yeah. But at the same time, occasionally do ultra violent things to particular individuals to try to make a point that they have power. And I think we're seeing that, man. I think we're seeing it. I think, like, you know, even people who believe in voting and believe in the whole false system of having someone rule over you, even those people this week are saying, man, look at these politicians. They can't keep it in their pants, and nobody wants them, and they're demanding to still be in the fight.
Right. Well, it's interesting because Stefan Molyneux, rape is almost his go-to metaphor for what the state is, because it's the biggest example of lack of consent leading to something horrible that everybody can point to and say horrible. There's no advocates of rape out there. There's nobody that says, well, somebody should get raped right now. That doesn't happen. So this kind of shows that as a good example. These are guys that
I don't know about politicians. That, because some politicians do. I mean, Barack Obama's policies of arming rebels in certain countries is leading to massive war rapes of local women.
Yeah, that's true.
That happened in World War II. That happened in the Korean War. That's always been a tool of armies. And, you know, the United States won't openly do it anymore, and they have policies against it, and they try to crack down on it whenever they discover it. And it's usually in America, in the American military, it's usually rape within the ranks. It's men raping women, or sometimes men raping men, but it's very rare and it's not policy. But the American overseas military policy does lead. It's a proxy rape. There you go. America funds people who go out and rape the locals.
Yeah. I guess you're right. Man, that's horrible. But not only that, domestically too, now that you mention it, I mean, that's almost the implied contract behind sending somebody to prison.
There you go.
Yep. They're going to get raped.
Yep.
I mean, there's a whole Boondocks episode about that where Uncle Tom, one of the characters in the show, became a prosecutor because he thought that would be the place he'd be safest from getting sent to prison and being anally raped, he says in the show. Which he's probably right about that. Very few prosecutors ever have any kind of oversight over them or any kind of, you know, they're pretty much immune. You know, they're one of the only ones who can get away with pretty much whatever they want to get away with. And that's what Chris Christie was. He was a prosecutor, basically, one of the highest levels of it.
Yeah, and occasionally they actually do send one of them to prison, like Rob Blagojevich. But I doubt they're going to let him get raped. I really do.
Yeah. He wasn't a prosecutor, though. I thought he was like a mayor
governor
or something.
He's a governor.
He was a governor?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what is it? I had a line in my Right Arm of Wyoming song. It was, I proposed two-term limits. First one in office, the second in jail. And somebody pointed out that kind of seems to be the plan in Chicago. Because something like... I hear your train going by.
You hear the train now.
Yeah, man, okay. Finally. I hear something like, you know, 3 out of the last 5 governors of Illinois are in prison.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Well, like, you know, speaking of prison, are we going to bring up Orange is the New Black today?
Yeah. Yes. Let's tie up our 3-point plan for government is a dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits. really quickly, well, we can bring this when we come back, and then we can talk about the great show Orange is the New Black after that. But Glenn Greenwald, we're going to talk about this, about how he says basically that the things that both parties agree on are the things you got to really watch out for. So when they say the governments and the Democrats and Republicans aren't getting along, that's why there's nothing happening. Yeah, but when they do agree, it's the worst for liberty.
That's why you don't hear about it, because it's not that political controversy. We'll be back with more Fiends after the break.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
Freedom Fiends.
I'm dancing.
That's what it is.
I'm dancing.
Yeah. Dance to the music, Michael. Dance, slave.
Dance.
Bring me my hot butter.
Bring me my hot butter and young misdemeanor people.
So, speaking of hot butter, oh man, I can't even segue with that. All right, so Glenn Greenwald, the guy who broke the Snowden leaks and basically put the government on blast because he is really awesome when it comes to journalism. And even though he, you know, people would describe him as a left liberal, he is not an Obama humper. He does not buy the party line, and he will call a spade, even when it's somebody on what's supposed to be his own team. He wrote this great article, and like Michael was saying in the previous segment, basically saying it's these bipartisan agreements that are the worst. And what he's referring to here is the Republican congressional leadership and all the Republicans in Congress voting against an amendment that would limit the TSA, obviously in favor of Obama's policy. And he points out how Orwellian the language of the Obama administration is here, right? So the amendment in question, I guess it was sponsored by Justin Amash, who's kind of a minarchist rock star, I guess you could call him. But they have this amendment. It failed, unfortunately, but it was simple. It was going to defund just one bit of the NSA, and that one bit is bulk collection of the telephone records of all Americans. You know, the big hubbub over the past month that Glenn Greenwald himself broke.
You could defund one part of it. That'd be like saying to some like heroin addict with children, okay, I'm going to give you less money each month so you can't buy heroin. No, she'd just starve her children and buy heroin.
Yes.
That's what the NSA would do. They'd say, oh, we're going to get rid of the things that might actually help solve anything, which I don't know if they have, but, you know.
Yeah.
They would just remove, you know,
they would remove the ping pong table from the break room.
Yeah.
Or they'd, remove they'd, the Jergens lotion from the desks.
Or if they're like a lot of other government agencies, they would just reduce the prostitute per diem.
Allotment, right.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. But yeah, so it was an amendment that was, you know, went through all the congressional processes and everything that you're supposed to do to get an amendment to the floor in the House. And also it was very specific. It was just that one that one NSA program. And the Obama administration's comments on it basically said this. This blunt approach is not the product of an informed, open, or deliberative process. Stop. Okay, it went through the normal channels of Congress, so obviously it was.
A normal, open, and deliberative process.
Right, right. And it wasn't blunt because it was very specific. It was going to cut out the bulk spying of the NSA. But somehow the White House statement on this is what the Republican leadership of the House took and ran with. And the Republican leadership in the House basically said, you must do what Obama says, and got all their representatives to vote against this more freedom-enhancing amendment.
They basically said, libertarians, get in my belly.
That's basically the gist of it. And kudos to Greenwald for staying on this. And, you know, maybe that's what Chris Christie's referring to here when he says this libertarian wing in both parties is maybe he's referring to Rand Paul and Glenn Greenwald. I don't know.
Yeah. And somebody recently asked me, like, what happened to the anti-war left? A guy who's a liberal who loves the freedom fiends, and I'm sure there's conservatives saying, yeah, of course, because you guys are liberals. No, we're not, man. But a guy who – a program director who basically said, I want to hate you guys, but I love you guys. That was his quote. And he said he was like – I was talking to him on the phone the other day, and he's like, where is the anti-war left? What happened to it? And I'm like, it's one guy. It's Glenn Greenwald, basically.
There's still some others. I mean, he's not the only one, but he's the biggest name right now, I would say, on the anti-war and anti-police state, because really, man, they're the same thing. It's the state pointing guns. You know, the wars are them pointing it thousands of miles away at innocent people. The domestic police state is them pointing it at you and your family who live right here in America.
Yeah.
Both are horrible.
And even when it's not exactly the same thing, it's the overseas wars are the training ground for the people who run the police state here. And we're going to talk about that when we get back, because there is a character in the show Orange is the New Black who's an Afghan vet who's working as a guard in a federal prison. And that's very, very common. And they use those same guys. Those are the same guys that are going to knock in your doors when they come look for guns or free right. speech in a few years, the way things are going.
Right, right. I mean, where do you think the concept of the no-knock raid came from? I actually don't know. I don't know if that started as a drug war thing or as a JSOC thing, but they both use it, and they both share their tactics.
The Nazis did it, man. The Nazis did it in World War II.
Fair enough. Well, we're going to do the very anti-Nazi, anti-fascist, anti-United States Empire police state thing here, and we're going to go to the market. So join us very soon for the next hour.
On the Freedom Fiends.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Fiends, we got them.
Lots of devil-baked infinity goodness coming up in hour two. Yeah, I'm Nima Vedati. In case you didn't know, we got Michael W. Dean sitting over there smoking bison hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of talk shows talk about things that we never really talk about. I read on some magazine, this magazine that lists, like, what are the hot topics on talk radio this week? And I look at them and I'm like,
we
didn't mention any of these. And one of them is the royal birth. I guess some inbred person in England who is the line of succession in something that doesn't have any power anymore, that still steals a bunch of taxpayer money to fund their lavish lifestyle. squirted out some little blob of protoplasm and everyone's supposed to care about it. And Americans, there are a lot of Americans are really happy about it and following it like it's Hollywood. And I don't like people who are really up in the lives of Hollywood people either, but at least people in Hollywood produce something. You know, they actually produce a product, and it's often overpriced and not very good, but at least they produce something. Whereas, you know, royalty is just a vestigial organ of the former tyranny where people think they're appointed by God and they pass it on genetically. And I don't care,
although,
man.
Although
I don't care.
Maybe that's a model we should look to as libertarians of what the politicians could do. All right. So you have all the – it's that old Lou Rockwell meme of, well, maybe we should just pay the politicians to go to Bermuda and sit there and do nothing. Well, we'll keep paying them, but it'd be better if they just sat there and did nothing. No new laws, no new police state, no more imperial actions. Just let them all go pretend that they're in power. I don't think they'd like that because, like in House of Cards, Kevin Spacey's character says, you know, I chose the power instead of the money. I chose the sturdy brick house rather than the fancy car.
Yeah, which actually comes from the British TV show that's based on, which was also called House of Cards, which is about a member of parliament who's also murderous and a little skeezier than the average politician. You know, there used to be this this really common bumper sticker that said something like, wouldn't it be great if schools were fully funded and the military had to hold a bake sale? And that's such a half measure kind of thinking about it. Like, really, yeah. Everything should have to have a bake sale to fund it. And there should be a defense organization that could have military aspects to it, but it should be privately funded and it should not be aggressive. Now, here's an interesting thing. Somebody's doing something that is usually financed with stolen government money, and they're doing it in a voluntary fashion. Crowdfunded gun buyback program launching in San Francisco.
Isn't that just a gun show?
It's an anti-gun show.
Oh, okay.
We're going to take these guns and decommission them. Now, the interesting thing is it's not doing very well. It's been out for like a week. It got national coverage, which is kind of interesting. It's like some grassroots thing, and all of a sudden, all these radio station websites put it on their website. But they've only had 78 people like them on Facebook. So that's really indicative of what's wrong with the government, is they steal a bunch of money and have monopolies on things that are massively so-called popular. But when someone tries to do that same thing in the private market, they're only able to get 78 right. likes internationally on Facebook. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that's that old meme that government ideas so great, we have to force them upon you at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Because the kinds of, quote, services that they offer aren't things that anybody would really want to have happen. maybe a minute few people who are loud and obnoxious, the busybodies, the Puritans of the world.
Yeah. The gun Puritans and the, yes. you know, the people who want to throw you in prison for looking at the ladies JCPenney underwear catalog.
I'm really offended by the name of the organization, too. Gunbygun.org.
Yeah.
That sounds like they're going to go door to door and get the gun. This gun, then this gun, then this gun. We'll do it one gun at a time.
Yeah. So if they've got 78 people liking them on Facebook, I wonder if they've raised enough money to buy back one gun yet. And the interesting thing is, I'd really like to see them kind of have an open debate with the Pink Pistols, which is a San Francisco-based gay gun rights organization. Their motto is "Armed gays don't get bashed," and I think that is so awesome and so confusing to the average San Franciscan. Like, wait, what? And what's the option in San Francisco? I mean, San Francisco, you know, if you don't want guns, you got to rely on the police. And the San Francisco Police Department in America probably are second only to the LAPD in reputation as head crackers and have been for
decades.
Well,
do you remember the YouTube video of them shooting a guy in the back on the BART? I guess that's the mass transit system.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that gave me nightmares, almost on the level of watching Collateral Murder, which was one of the WikiLeaks videos. But the guys, you can see him. He's laying there prone, obviously not a danger to anybody. And I think the San Francisco Police Department's excuse was, the gun was pointed at the guy. The officer may have made a mistake and misfired,
I thought it was he thought he was pulling out his taser or mace, or was that a different San Francisco police officer who shot someone in the back?
There's too many to keep track of in my brain.
I think San Francisco's issue is that they live in the shadow of LA. Like, the LAPD have this worldwide reputation as you don't mess with them, they'll crack your skull, and Rodney King and stuff like that. And I think San Francisco lives in the shadow of that, and the cops there might be like, well, we don't want people saying we're sissies because we're from San Francisco. We can be as bad as the LAPD, and they just go shoot people in the back, I guess, is how they is their public service thing. They also shot some dogs recently. There's video of it. They like to shoot people that and beings that aren't doing anything.
Yeah. Well, would these same gun grabbers be upset about that? I imagine they would. I imagine the same people who are running this gun by gun were probably horrified by the SFPD shooting the guy in the back at the train station.
Yeah, but they want to disarm people and not the SFPD, which is
because they don't have that sense of logic. I mean, look at the first paragraph in their about page. This is the first sentence. There are over 300 million guns currently circulating in the United States that result in more than 100,000 gun deaths and injuries every year in this country. Now, pause there. That is such a giant non sequitur. Those two don't connect. They don't follow. Yeah. How did the gun result in the death? I know it's the old cliche of guns don't kill people, people kill people, but really that's the missing link here in their logic. They don't get that. I mean, I wish that I could just leave a gun in my front room and it would protect me, and I could go sleep in my bedroom and I wouldn't have to worry. If my house got broken in, the gun would just jump up and shoot the bad guy.
Well, liberals,
but that's not how it works.
Liberals love to, and I am collectivizing here, but they're collectivists, so it's okay. Liberals love to pick and choose when they collectivize and when they don't. Like, liberals would love to say, you can't say that all Muslims are bad, which is a good point, and I agree. But they love to say all gun owners are bad, or all gun owners are potential murderers. Or we looked at those gun grabby cartoons from the mainstream media last week that were basically painting all NRA members as Klan members who want to walk on the bodies of murdered children, literally.
Yeah. Well, that's why the things like pink pistols are so great, because they help to break down that stereotype and that paradigm. You know, a gun is a tool that can be used for good and evil, and is used and enjoyed as a protective device by all segments of society. And one of the things I'm reminded of is that that hubbub in Colorado we talked about a few shows ago, where on the university there was going to be a rule where women could no longer carry concealed when they're going to college. And somebody brought it up to a politician. And he was like, well, I would advise them to tell the rapists that they're on their period, or pee or throw up on the rapists.
Gun control gets women raped, and that's the name of one of my songs in my band, Right Arm of Wyoming. And I have a little homework assignment for anybody who believes in gun freedom and is against gun control. If you are a person listening who gives money to the NRA or the GOA or the JPFO and believes in supporting gun rights organizations with your money, and you also happen to be a person who doesn't like homosexuals much, walk your talk and send $10 to the Pink Pistols. It's pinkpistols.org. Send $10 to a gay gun rights organization in San Francisco. If you really believe in gun rights for everybody who's not a violent felon, send $10 to the Pink Pistols. You will really be walking your talk. It'll be hard to do. You won't want to do it. You know, if you send $50 normally to the NRA, send $40 to the NRA and send $10 to the Pink Pistols, just to really walk your talk of, gun rights for everybody.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, no freedom till we're all free, right? You don't have a situation of liberty unless everybody abides by the same morals, the non-aggression principle, and everybody is free to pursue their own happiness, whether you're gay or a gun owner or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were going to talk about Hollywood. We were talking about Hollywood and how people worship Hollywood people. And Hollywood is a bloated dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits. And the beginning of the death of it, well, probably was just all the bad movies that started to be making in the 80s. The 70s was a really good time for it. It was kind of the peak in my mind for Hollywood filmmaking. And then the 80s came around and it really started to go south, or not even south. I don't want to say that because the south is a good place. It really started to go down. And here's the thing. We think that Hollywood is going to be replaced by Netflix, and we think that's a great thing. Netflix has come out with some original series. The first one was with Kevin Spacey, and it was House of Cards, and it was amazing. And basically, they're producing like episodes, TV-style episodes that are as good as movies every episode, and releasing the whole series, the whole like season in one day, because they understand how people consume media now. You know, as David Fincher, who directed the first series they did, the first couple episodes of House of Cards, said, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. is dead. Like, basically,
yeah,
setting your clock to sit in front of a TV with the rabbit ears and watch a show 1 week at a time with commercials is dead. And right. Netflix is at the forefront of this.
Well, it's funny because the big cable providers provide sort of these half measures that kind of mimic it. You know, you have the on-demand, you have the DVR where you save the TVs. But that's really just a middleman, because what you're doing is you're recording shows that still come on Tuesday at 7 p.m.
And it's interesting, the HBO on-demand. We get HBO and we like it and we watch it. But HBO on-demand is not available in Wyoming. So when we try to log on and make an account and go through all their hoops to get stuff, after doing like 10 minutes of work, it says you can't get this here. And I don't know if that's like politicians have outlawed it or how that works, but you don't get it in Wyoming.
Sounds like the old licensing models coming back to ruin things.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this quick trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
It's our freedom we can do what we like.
Yo, it's the Freedom Fiends. Welcome back. Hey. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. I hope he's finished stuffing his face with whatever that was.
It was colloidal uranium drops.
Oh, good, 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 good.
It keeps away nice and green? It keeps away the new world orders. Yeah. No, it's pizza, man. Colloidal pizza.
Colloidal pizza. Homeopathic pizza.
It is. That's really not. But so we're going to talk about Orange is the New Black. You know, interesting on that show on Netflix, the main character often says, I don't know what that is.
About prison things that are going on that she doesn't know what that is.
She doesn't say it like we do. She just says, I don't know what that is. But another example of our tag, our catchphrase.
So I mentioned it in passing as a kicker during our midweek show, and the next day you called me, you're like, that show's great. I watched all 10 episodes. 12, catch up. Watch it all.
13 episodes, yeah.
Oh, 13. Okay.
And they're doing – I like what they do, which is they have a bunch of really good actors who aren't stars.
Yes.
I mean, they did have one star or two stars in House of Cards. They had Kevin Spacey and – Robin Wright Penn, who had the good sense to divorce Sean Penn. So she's okay in my book, even though she's a flaming liberal and probably wants me to be disarmed at gunpoint, like most Hollywood liberal elites.
Yuck.
But Orange is the New Black. It's great. And the main character is played by Taylor Schilling, who is an actress who's only been in one movie, and it is Atlas Shrugged Part 1. She plays Dagny, so that's pretty cool.
I totally can't see her as a Dagny, but I didn't see the Atlas Shrugged
Dagny
movie.
In Part 2, they got Dagny better. They used different actors in Part 2, and they used someone older and harsher, which is how I pictured Dagny.
Right. Yeah. Dagny Taggart.
Yeah, it's one of those rare situations where you're like, boy, I'm glad they replaced that character with someone older and harsher and less attractive looking. That's not a normal Hollywood decision, but it works from a filmmaking decision. So,
well, maybe the girl's a good actress, but in Orange is the New Black, she's very innocent and sweet, and you get a very big sense that she should not be in federal prison.
Well, nobody should be in there. I mean, of all the main characters, there's like – I think two that have done actual crimes where they aggressed against somebody, you know, and one was like, one was a lady who murdered a man, but she murdered a man who was molesting and beating children. So you kind of cheer for her anyway, I guess. But, I mean, everyone's in there for things like, you know, the main character's in there for taking a suitcase of money from one country to another, which governments do all day, every day, and they don't even have to take a suitcase. They do it electronically, and they steal the money. And corporations do that all day, every day, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And the only catch was it was apparently drug money.
I don't know what that is.
Free and clear, there would be no problem with drug money if there was no drug war. And you might say, well, there's these violent drug organizations and cartels, and it's blood money, and they kill people to get it. Well, the only reason they have to do that is because the government points guns at people and says, hey, if you buy this thing, even if you want to buy it, we're going to throw you in a cage. If you sell this thing, even though you want to sell it and people want to buy it, we're going to throw you in a cage. And if you resist, we'll kill you.
And she wasn't even arrested for drugs or drug money or money laundering. She was arrested for criminal conspiracy, which is one of their catch-all, you know, if you've ever talked to anybody who did something they don't like, they can pressure you into it. And she was pressured, you know, her attorney basically said, well, you're facing 18 years or you can take a plea bargain and get a year. And she did. Yeah. And the federal prison – it's what, you know, minimum security, what they kind of call a country club prison, but it's not a country club, man. And it's kind of like the female version of the prison that Larkin Rose was in. I'd be very curious of his opinion if he's listening of this show. He should check out Orange is the New Black. The show is not family friendly. You know, if you got little kids, you probably don't want to watch it. But even if you normally don't watch shows that, you know, if you only watch clean shows, you should probably go watch this because I think it's an important show because it really shows the lunacy of the judicial system of saying, yes, I want to vote for people who will throw criminals in a cage. Because when you do that, you give them the power to throw anybody in a cage. And it's pretty realistic. And it's kind of how it works, man. And the theme song.
And the fear, it seems to be a very big motif. The fear of something horrible happening or getting stuck in prison for 5 extra years for something like a simple mistake. The episode I recently watched, they were in the tool shop, right? They assign these prisoners to jobs in different sectors of the prison where they get paid 11 cents an hour. And this pretty little waspy girl was assigned to the electrical shop. She took a screwdriver and she had put it in her pocket in her hoodie, and then she left her hoodie outside. And now a screwdriver is a deadly weapon in prison. So she could have got 5 more years if they would have found it. And then the whole episode becomes about the conflict of what is she going to do about this screwdriver that she took by mistake. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
And if you show a screwdriver in the first episode, you have to use it in the last.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yo. Freedom Fiends, that's what it is, that's what it be. I'm Nima V, we've also got Michael Dean. We are going to talk about liberty and various things. Are we still talking about Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, we're doing libertarian movie reviews today.
Okay, good. And, I've got an announcement, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I announce?
Yes.
I can announce. Okay, great.
Please say the whole thing.
Please say the whole thing. I am going to have a daughter, barring, you know, any crazy unforeseen consequences.
Nice.
But we went to do the little sonogram thing the other day.
Aww.
And yes, it is a girl that the doctor lady confirmed. So, I mean, I guess those things are never 100%, but
hold it up
right now.
Hold it up to the microphone. Let us see.
Oh, see?
Right well, there. It's a sonogram. It was made with sound. Play the sound and people can decode it to a picture at home.
I will play the sound and all the daredevil-esque people out there will be able to see it with their ears. But
that's a girl.
Yeah, so we're just trying to figure out girl names right now. I think we like
Dagny.
Lillian. I like
Dagny.
Lillian.
Dagny.
Ah, Dagny's so harsh sound. It's not euphonic at all. It sounds... Dagny, and that does not sound
Lillian.
Good.
Lillian.
No offense.
I dated a crazy girl named Lily. Boy, was she fun.
I want my daughter to be fun.
Until they try to stab you in your sleep. Now, speaking of stabbing in sleep, let's talk about the prison show, Orange is the New
Nice
Black.
Segue.
I didn't mean to cut off your daughter announcement, but it just felt like a good segue.
One other thing. If any fiends have names that they have that they can think of, well, we're having trouble with it. So if you want to send those to talkback@freedomfiends.com, or Facebook message me so Michael doesn't have to deal with it. We'll do that. Facebook message Nima Vidati on Facebook. And if we end up using your name, I guess you'll be on the golden floppy disk of redemption.
Yeah. So Orange is the New Black. It's a really great show and you should check it out. And it's based on a book by a woman who did spend a year in federal prison for something that shouldn't be a crime, which is a very common thing these days. It's a good show. It's got I love the theme music. I forget the lady's name, but it sounds like the band Hole. It sounds exactly like Hole, and I really like
it. Sounds better than Hole.
The music, though, and the melodies and the production, not the voice, but everything about it. You know, I mean, it kind of sounds like those demos that Kurt Cobain allegedly did where he wrote the whole Hole album, and then Courtney recorded it, and then Kurt somehow ended up dead. That's the theory.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything happened, but that's a theory. There are tapes, like 10th generation scratchy cassette tapes circulating of Kurt Cobain playing an acoustic guitar and singing that whole album. That whole album.
Really?
Live through this. Yeah.
I would love to hear that. If that's true, I should be able to find it on Pirate Bay or something, right?
Pirate Bay, where liberty lives. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
But yeah, Orange is the New Black. Struck me immediately as the perfect show that people who are pro-police state should watch. I would assign that as homework to not just fiends, but to anybody listening out there who thinks, you fiends out there, I bet you just want the world to be rampant and you want there to be no prison and you want there to be blood in the streets. Well, you know, prison doesn't solve that, and prison actually imposes violence and horrible treatment and things on other people. Plus, it's a giant government program, man. Prison is the post office where they get to keep you in a cage and do horrible things to you.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're one of these people who think, we need more prisons to keep us safe, you know, watch this show And picture your daughter being in there, or your wife, or your best friend, or your girlfriend, or you, because it could happen. Because that's the way things are now. Like, there's a book called Three Felonies a Day, which basically lays out how law has gotten so complicated that most people, on average, without knowing it, commit three felonies a day. And
another important distinction is this doesn't mean we think aggression and violence and wrong things should just be accepted, and that society should just let everybody do what they want to do.
Yeah, I would be really in favor of a judicial system that never punishes things that don't have a victim. And instead of just punishing things that have a victim, required payback, you know, I mean, if you
restitution,
you know, if you get your credit card stolen and somebody rings up a bunch of charges and it ruins your life and they steal your identity, you know, the government goes, if they go after the person, which they usually don't, and if they convict them, it's always the state versus that person. It's not you versus that person. And the state, what the state does is steals a bunch more tax money. Throws that person in a cage for years, and you don't get your money back. You don't. Maybe the credit card company, maybe the private industry gives you some of your money back. But, you know, I would like to see a thing where if you beat somebody up and you're arrested, you have to go work and give them money for a year or something.
Right. Well, you're right. In the current system, you get robbed from twice. If somebody steals from you and gets thrown in jail, then congratulations, you get to buy them dinner for 4 years.
Yeah,
and
Shane
pay
Sheed
for their betting.
Shane Sheed nailed it in our movie Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. He basically said, you know, anybody who's a conservative, calls himself a conservative, is usually absolutely against any welfare, against welfare checks. They're often in favor of corporate welfare and farming welfare and oil industry welfare and things like that. But they're usually adamantly against food stamps and welfare checks. And as they should be against those things. We're against those things too. But they're also very usually in favor of the drug war, which is insane because, you know, giving someone food stamps and a welfare check costs the state, you know, $600 a month. Putting somebody in prison for having some weed for a year costs the state like, you know, $17,000 a month. So if, you know, you're paying for their food, their housing, their health care, their education, you know, watching them, guarding them 24/7, you're basically giving them, it's not a life they like, but it's a free life that costs a lot of money that you're paying everything for, you know?
Yep, yep.
Clothing them.
My wife said when she was watching Orange is the New Black, they get free healthcare, food, and beds? We should go to prison.
Well,
I mean, obviously you wouldn't want that, but that's true. You get your whole life provided for you. And then you as a taxpayer, you're probably also going to be paying some other externalities when that mother who's been in jail for years, her kids are then raised by the state and have, you know, not the family structure or support that they would have had otherwise, and they might do things that'll land them in jail too, and then you're paying for them.
Yep. And I learned a new term from this show too, getting off of our soapbox for a minute. I just love this term, pencil tucky. It is the name of one of the – everybody in there is called by their last names in prison, and that is a thing.
Well, some have nicknames like Crazy Eyes.
Yeah.
His eyes are full of crazy.
Yeah, and and College is what they call the blonde main character who's kind of yuppie. They call her College. What's up, College? Or Dandelion. The black girls call her Dandelion because her hair is blonde.
Right.
So there is a turn – there's a character in there named Pencil Tucky who is – played by the girl who plays the little whore with the little prostitute with cornrows in the movie Hustle and Flow, which is one of my favorite movies. And she's one of my favorite, like, not famous actors. I like her in stuff. Mm-hmm. She plays someone who's even crazier in this one. She plays a character they call Pencil Tucky, which is named after the region she's from. Pencil Tucky is sometimes derogatory term, sometimes a term of endearment for the area of Pennsylvania near the southern border where Maryland is, that is not the Pittsburgh Metroplex and not the Philly Metroplex. The joke is, and it's very rural and I guess considered redneck. And the saying is Pittsburgh on the left, Philly on the right, Alabama in the middle. And it's nowhere near Alabama, but it's just, and it's nowhere near Kentucky, but it's kind of a Kentucky of the mind.
In geography, it's nowhere near, but yes, in culture, apparently.
Yeah. And she's from there. She's a little, redneck meth addict from Pennsylvania. So they call her Pennsylvania. Now, I love this word. I just was riffing on it and saying it and calling my cats by that name for a day and trying to use it in sentences with my wife. And I went and looked it up. And the interesting thing is this place I'm so fascinated with, this mythical land of Pennsyltucky. It turns out I lived there for 4 years and didn't know it. Well, I knew I lived in Paoli, Pennsylvania. But I went to boarding school there, the Church Farm School in Paoli, Pennsylvania. And
well, didn't the name of the school give it away? Church and Farm? There's no separation of church and farm in Pennsylvania.
There isn't. Yeah, it's like we went to church 4 times a week and we shoveled pig leavings, and that was my education. And it was a better school than public school for sure. It was very much like a public school. It was the everyone sits in little rows and obeys, and but you have to wear a tie and you have to be more respectful, and they will use corporal punishment if you don't behave. And you know, somehow that made me into the man I am today. I don't know how, but you know, there's a good ringing endorsement for private church-based schools. I came from one, yo.
Are there still public schools that do corporal punishment? I wonder that. There was when I was a kid.
No.
I used to.
No, they just
paddling.
Arrest you and throw you in a cage and then you get raped.
Is that
they
it?
Let the free market take care of it. That's how they think. No, they do. They arrest kids in school now for cussing and things like and truancy. They don't just punish you in the school. They will arrest you. They will have the police come in and arrest you. Mm. You know, I was amazed too how much the building that Orange is the New Black takes place in looks like a public school building. It looks like it's made from the same blueprint as a modern public school. And they are.
Makes sense to me. Yeah. It was also interesting how even though they're all in prison, there's still these sort of pockets of spontaneous order that crop up.
And free market.
People trade things. You know, one of the girls is the beautician. And in the earlier episodes, Dandelion is going in and needs some things. And so she goes and tries to trade. And she's like, I don't have my commissary yet. You know, give me a week or so. And the beautician lady's like, credit declined. And so, you know, it goes to show that there's always – people will always want to trade because things are more valuable. They have subjective value to different people. You know, like the old story of in POW camps in World War II, the folks who didn't smoke, they weren't addicted to nicotine, did the best often because they could hoard their cigarette rations and use them as currency.
Yeah, from the Red Cross care packages. And I just realized there's no cigarettes in this show. Like usually you think of, yeah, in prison, they're trading cigarettes. But I don't think cigarettes are permitted and in federal prison anymore. You know,
because they want you to be healthy while you're
in prison. Because they own you. Yeah, but you know, the guards are selling narcotic pills to the girls and trading sex for them. But you know, other than that, like the real free market stuff, like foods and candies and hair care products and makeup that were being traded. None of it was really being traded at highly inflated prices, which is kind of interesting because it was cheaper than the commissary. Like the, you know, they said it was $6.50 for a Coca-Cola in prison. And that's true.
Right.
Prison, not only, you know, not only do poor people end up in prison more than rich people for non-crimes, they mess with you more if you're poor in there because, you know, everything is really expensive. They pay you $17 an hour. How many hours do you have to work at $17?
No, not $17.
17 cents.
An hour.
17 cents. How many hours do you have to work at 17 cents an hour to buy a $6.50 Coca-Cola?
Too many, man.
And like you can only make collect calls, so your family's paying like $4 a minute every time you call. They just mess with you, man. They mess with you. We're gonna have a tweak and review when we get back here on the Freedom Fiends from the free market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yep, it's the Freedom Fiends. Hey, welcome back. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Yeah.
We are live. Yeah. This is the end of the show, but we've got a few more bits for you.
I'm skittling. I'm drinking some bison drink.
Bison flavor. Well, I don't even want to know what that is. Don't tell me what that is.
It doesn't exist. So, yeah, I was thinking about how people always say, we should make English the national language and require it by law. And you know, I don't think you need to require that by law, because I think the free market takes care of it. And my co-host Nima Vidotti is proof of it, because first of all, Nima is also proof of, you know, when people say, I've been trying to find a job for a year, I've known Nima for about 4 years. And I think he's had five jobs with maybe 2 days off between jobs. He just gets jobs and works really hard and gets raises and makes more than minimum wage. And he's got a job now doing cable TV installing. And how long have you been working there?
Like a month.
Yeah, and you're already up for a promotion, and your promotion is going to be, instead of crawling under where the spiders and rusty nails are laying cable, you're going to be going around and inspecting other people's work. And I said,
Inspector Vidotti.
How did you get that promotion offer, and what did you say?
I'm not going to say that on radio.
You said, I'm the guy that speaks English the best.
Communication skills, man. They are so important. And negotiating skills and being able to communicate effectively.
Yeah, you don't
accurately.
Just speak English. You float like a butterfly and sting like a bee in English.
Yeah. It's helped me get out of traffic tickets, too.
I'm trying to say you're a good speaker. You speak good. I'm like,
got a pretty mouth.
Okay, so anyway, we're talking about Netflix and how great it is and how it's going to replace the old tired model of mainstream TV. And they have another show that's an original series. I like the first two we mentioned, but they have another one I really didn't like. And it's well done, but it's just not my kind of thing. It's called Lillehammer. Lillehammer, however you say that name of that town in Norway. And it's basically The Sopranos in Norway. It's okay. Steven Van Zandt, who played a character, he's in Bruce Springsteen's band, and he played Silvio Dante on The Sopranos. And in Lillehammer, he's basically a gangster who sells out rats on some other gangsters and gets witness protection. And he's like, I don't want to go to Arizona. Send me to – they'll find me there. Send me to Norway. So they send him to Lillehammer. And then he just starts acting like a gangster there, and hilarity ensues. And part of it's in Norwegian with subtitles, which most people don't like. Most Americans don't like subtitles. In Europe, it's very common because there's so many languages, people don't mind subtitles. But there are subtitles in some of it. And the problem is, it's just a guy acting like the state. I mean, he's aggressing on people, and it's supposed to be funny because he's a gangster, you know, acting like a gangster in this country that really apparently doesn't have gangsters. Although I'm thinking, like, Norway, man, those people used to be Vikings. Why are they putting up with this guy pushing him around? What happened to those people? They used to be Vikings. And my wife said, socialism happened. And it's kind of true, man. Norway is a really nanny, polite, everyone's wearing, you know, sweaters with reindeers on them, and they don't know how to deal with someone like this guy. And that's why black metal came out of there. That's why like Death Clock, what they're imitating, came out of that country.
It's a reaction to the reindeer sweaters and lingonberry lattes.
Yeah, well, it's the Viking blood and Viking DNA being forced into a reindeer sweater and going. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So, yeah, I didn't like the show. And there was this one scene where he was basically trying to get favor with a local politician who was trying to get eminent domain on some hippie who had a farm out in the sticks, you know, with chickens and all natural food and everything. And they wanted to put, you know, a bunch of condos there. And little Steven made a deal with this politician of like, I'll get that guy to sign your paper and give up his land for a small amount of money, even though he's refusing, if you give me one of the condos. And it's like, okay. And he goes in and he just bullies the hell out of this hippie. And it's supposed to be funny and cool because it's like a New York gangster, you know, dealing with a Norwegian hippie. And I don't see it as like, I don't see it as like, oh, that stupid hippie. I see it as a property owner being bullied by a bully for the state. And that is not cool, man. That's not entertaining. So Netflix, get some non-aggression principle in there, and I'll keep watching you and keep telling everyone that they should watch you.
More Orange Is the New Black, less Lilyhammer.
Yeah.
Thus it is spoken, thus it shall be done. We are the Freedom Fiends. Thank you for sticking with us, folks. We'll see you tomorrow when we interview Stefan Kinsella. Should be lively, interesting, fun, full of macho libertarian flash.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.